You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, Episode 8. Heather Wells and the Single Mom Blog present Single Mom Success, the place for single moms to find support, inspiration, and the path to their own success. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope you guys are doing fantastically. I do want to start out by apologizing that there was not a podcast last week. I actually ended up going out of town last week to Phoenix for business, and had every intention of taking my podcasting equipment with me and recording from Phoenix. I was going to do a whole spiel about it, traveling when you're a single mom and how that works, and I still probably will do a podcast about that, but unfortunately, that didn't happen because I had issues with my flight being canceled, and I had to take an earlier flight, which left at 5:30 in the morning, which meant that I had to be up, packed, and ready to go at about 3:30 a.m., and ended up leaving all of the podcasting stuff behind. So I didn't have my microphone, I didn't have anything to bring with me other than my laptop, which did come with me, and unfortunately, because of the flight change and the early day, by the time I would have even sat down to record the podcast, I probably would have just been incoherent. It would not have been a good podcast. So I do apologize. And this one, of course, is a little bit late because I am still playing catch up from being gone all last week. So today's topic for the podcast is, I was going to do one about traveling. I still will probably do that. But this one actually came to me because, again, I've seen some things posted on some Facebook pages. It's amazing. I find so much of my inspiration on the Facebook posts because I see all of these issues that other women, other moms and single moms post, and it strikes me that, you know, these things are, you know, everybody has different problems. Some people are in the situation that I was several years ago. Some people are in a more evolved and better situation than I'm in now. And so we're all sort of on our own paths, which always brings me to that quote, and it's one of my favorite quotes. It's sort of, you know, don't compare your chapter 1 to someone else's chapter 15. You can't compare where your life is to where someone else's life is because, you know, you haven't gone through what they've gone through. You haven't experienced what they've experienced, and vice versa. They haven't gone through and experienced the things that you've experienced. They may be further along down their path to, you know, single mom success than you are. You may be just starting out. You may be brand new to being a single mom, and of course you're not going to have it all together. Of course you're not going to have all the answers, and nobody ever does have all the answers. You know I don't. This world shocks the hell out of me on a daily basis. You know, I it's a pretty common occurrence that I get my, I get shocked and amazed and, you know, taken aback, and sometimes I get knocked clean off my feet by things that happen. So it's just, you take it as it comes, but you, again, you don't compare where you are with where someone else is, and you know, make yourself feel bad because, oh, you know, I'm not at that level yet, or I don't have that, and I must be a terrible mom. No, you're just not in the same place that other person is. So it's interesting when I'm in these Facebook groups and I see all the posts and the different things, and you know, it's almost instinctual when I see somebody who's gone through what I went through, that I just want to jump in and comment. And there's a lot of times where I start commenting and I'm like, you know, God, you can't do this, or you shouldn't do that, and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of have to stop myself and remember that they haven't gotten to the same point yet that I'm at, right? They haven't been able to get to that level of a relationship with their ex. Not that my relationship with my ex is perfect by any means, but it is leaps and bounds beyond where it used to be. Right, it used to be really ugly, really nasty, very confrontational. I think every time we spoke, there was an argument or something nasty was said. So it's definitely grown. But one of the things that I have been noticing sort of as a frequent post is, you know, it's just sort of all this drama. And it kind of brought up my subject for today's podcast, and it's basically, you know, baby mama drama. And I love putting it like that because it rhymes. It makes me think of Llama Llama books. I don't know if you've ever read them, but Llama Llama baby, Llama Llama, I can't remember any of the titles now off the top of my head, but it's a cute little book about a llama, you know, Llama Llama, Mrs. Mama, stuff like that. And it's just funny, but sorry, I kind of get distracted by shiny objects. Oh, something shiny. There's a subject that I love to talk about. But they're one of my daughter's favorite books. So we have several of them. But yeah, so the topic of today is baby mama drama. And are you guilty of it? Right? Because here's the thing. As much as we would love to be perfect, we're not. Right? And as much as we would love to blame every problem that we have on our ex and the baby daddy and all of that, we can't. It's not always their fault. And even if they do something wrong, you know, sometimes we make more of it than needs to be made, more drama than there should be. And it's just, it's human nature. It's not, you know, and don't get me wrong, our exes do the same thing. You know, my ex has had his fair share of blowing up over something very small, or being very upset or offended by something very small and causing drama, where it didn't need to be caused, where it could have been resolved by a simple conversation. So I'll give you an example. He has huge issues with when people leave off his last name on our daughter's name. So our daughter has a hyphenated last name. She has my last name and then his last name hyphenated. And oftentimes, because my last name comes first in the hyphenation, people will drop his last name. And he gets really upset about that. He gets really offended. When we were first, you know, split up and we went to the hospital, and here's the thing, because she has a hyphenated last name, a lot of times there's not enough room on whatever the printout is, or, you know, the hospital wristband or whatever they've printed. There's not enough room to put her full name. And so the last part of her name is obviously what's going to get cut off, right? But his logic wasn't at that point where he would say, oh, well, it's not that big a deal, because they probably just ran out of room. In his mind, he was like, well, don't you give them my last name? You think it's funny that they only use your name? No, but I do think it's funny that you're this upset about it. Like, I understand that you want her to have her last name, but just because they left it off on this piece of paper doesn't mean her last name has been changed. It doesn't mean that that's still not her last name. It's not like magically because they left it off, it poof, disappeared. It's still there. It's still her last name. They just couldn't fit it on this piece of paper, or, you know, they just didn't say it. You know, I don't know why they didn't say your last name. Like, so, you know, there's just this, there's a bit of drama that comes along with that, or at least there used to be. And I think he still gets a little bit butthurt about it. But it's a huge deal for him, you know, and he's like, well, I want you to change it. But no, that's her last name. We agreed on that. I'm not changing her last name because you get all butthurt because people forget to put your name on there, or they leave yours off, or there's not enough room. So, you know, guys do it too. The exes do it too. They have their tendency to jump on the small little things and make a lot of drama over, you know, issues that don't need to be made. But we as women, I think we sometimes excel at it. And it's something that, you know, I definitely have been guilty of, for sure. I can't sit here and say, you know, I don't like drama. I hugely hate drama. I don't like it. But I will fully admit that I have played my role in creating drama when there didn't need to be any. And that's just, I think, human nature. But I also had to come to some realizations about it and what was causing me to create that drama. And once I came to those realizations, it was a lot easier to stop creating drama where there didn't need to be any, right? And again, like I said, I'm not perfect. I still slip up. I'm still human. I'm still a woman. I still have, you know, fluctuating emotions, you know, that run the gambit of, you know, today I'm just pissed off and I can't tell you why, I just am. It's just one of those things. Today I'm sad, you know, it's just, we're human beings, you know, that's just the way life is, you know. So, but here's some of the main things that I identified as the reasons for me creating, you know, baby mama drama, where there didn't really need to be any. The first one was early on in our split, when, you know, several years ago when we first split up. You're still hurt. You know, you're still hurt. You're still upset. You're still angry. Whatever the reason that you're not with this person, you're still hurt by it. You know, this is a possibility. And again, it may not be true for everyone. Some people, you know, they weren't in a relationship with the father of their children ever. So there was no hurt to be had, right? But you know, for most, there's some sort of relationship that occurred, whether it was marriage, long-term relationship, short-term relationship, or like in my case, you were more in love with this person or thought you were more in love with this person than they clearly were with you. They cheated on you, which, again, I still firmly believe my ex was seeing his wife, his now wife, before he and I split. So there was a lot of emotional issue that came when we were split up. And so a lot of the drama that came about from that time was because I was still very hurt. I was still very upset, very hurt, very heartbroken, very angry. And I think as humans, when we are that hurt or when we are that emotionally raw, we want to lash out at others so that they, or to try and make them feel as bad as we feel, right? Like, we feel like crap, so I want to make you feel like crap because that'll make me feel better. It's not logical, but a lot of times that's how it is. I'm upset, I'm pissed off, I'm hurt, you hurt me, so I'm going to lash out at you to try and make you feel as bad as I do, or to try and cause you as much pain as I feel, or some morsel of the pain that I feel. And so I think there was a lot of that in the initial issues that I had with my ex. And again, not to give him a free pass, because he definitely, you know, that boy has his own set of issues. I mean, like, a therapist would have a field day with him, I think. Probably with me too. Definitely, you know, he still had his issues. There was still a lot of really heavy drinking at the time. There were still things, you know, he wasn't showing up for his daughter. So, you know, there was definitely, you know, a reason for me to be upset. There was a reason. It wasn't that I was always irrationally just upset with him. There was always something that kicked it off. So it wasn't that I was just crazy and I was making stuff up to be upset about. That's not what was going on. But what was going on is that I would take the littlest thing that could be easily resolved by a simple conversation, and a civil conversation could have resolved the issue. But I made it into a huger issue. I caused more drama than needed to be because of the fact that I was hurt or upset. And I will definitely admit to that raw feeling was definitely what caused a lot of that, where, you know, if he didn't show up, I would make a very large deal about it. Another part of that was not also just that I was hurt, but also because this whole sharing custody thing was really, really new to me. And I held him, and I've discussed this in another podcast of, you know, treating your ex like an equal. I held him to this insanely high standard of what I felt a father should be. And it's not bad that I have that standard. I think every person should have that standard of a parent, right? Of a father, of a mother. And I think we hold ourselves to an insanely high standard, which, as parents, it's a good and a bad thing, right? It's a good thing because you always want to try and do the best that you can for your kids. But at the same time, having that insanely high standard also keeps you from realizing when you are doing the best that you can for your kids. Like, you don't realize that what you're doing is actually the best that you can do at that moment. In that moment, you are doing the best that you can, but because of that insanely high standard that you have of yourself or for yourself or for your ex, you feel like it's not enough. Like what you're doing and what they're doing is not enough. Now, don't get me wrong. I still feel to this day, and I will feel like this, that, you know, missing out on time with your child for trivial things or because you had been drinking, not cool, right? Like, I'm still and always going to feel like that. I handle it differently now than I used to. It used to be I would come unglued, I would start calling him names, I would just, you know, basically rake him over the coals for doing it. Now I handle it differently. I don't cause the drama. I don't call names, or I try really hard not to call names. And again, I'm human. You know, there have been incidences where I did get upset about something and I would call names. And, you know, I feel badly about that, not because I called him a name, but because I allowed myself to sort of sink back to a level that I've tried really hard to stay away from. You know, sometimes you just got to get it out, right? And it's not always pretty. But again, like I said, we're human. We make mistakes. We do things that we regret. We say things that we regret. That's just the nature of being a person, right? So, but I do handle it differently now when things like that happen. You know, so for example, you know, my ex was supposed to pick up our daughter. He went out the night before for his wife's birthday. The next day, we didn't hear from him until like noon, 2 o'clock, somewhere like in the afternoon. And, you know, he's like, oh, well, you know, I had this happen and this is going on and blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I slept late. Do you mind if I pick her up later tonight? And instead of getting mad at him because he didn't show up like he had promised he would, or said he would, I wrote him a text back and said, you know, it's your time with your daughter. It's up to you how little or how much you spend with her. And left it at that. So in a way, it was sort of like huge, like, you know, like shaming. It was like a guilt trip kind of, but it was also, it was sort of intended that way, but it was a way to put forth my opinion of, you know, hey, you're missing out on time with your daughter, but without being like, you know, confrontational, without being nasty about it. It was just a simple statement of fact. This is your time that you have with your daughter, and it's up to you how little or how much you spend of it with her. If you're late, you're late, and that's time you missed with your kid. And I'm not going to be mad at you for it. I'm just going to take care of it from my end. So all I can do when those situations happen is talk to my daughter, say, you know, I'm not sure what's going on with your dad, but you know what? We're going to spend our day. And if we hear from him, we hear from him. And if we don't, we don't, right? But we're not going to wait around. We're not going to let it ruin our day. So, you know, if we had plans to go to the zoo and, or let's say if I had made plans to do something with my boys, then she just comes along with, like, okay, you're coming with and we're going to do what we were going to do. I'm not going to sit here waiting for him to show up. And I'm not going to be angry about it because I'm not letting him ruin my day. That gives him way too much power over my day. There's like, he's an ex for a reason. I don't let him have that kind of power over what I do in a day. So if he's not able to make it when he said he was going to make it, okay, then I'm going to go about my day. And now you have to figure out how to get your, you know, now you have to go along with my schedule. My schedule was going to start when you picked up our daughter. But because you didn't pick her up when you said, I'm going about my day, and now you have to deal with my timetable. And it's not drama, and it's not me being nasty. It's just, you have to understand that my life doesn't revolve around you, right? And it's just very civil. I'm not being nasty. I'm not being rude, okay? So I'm trying really hard to not cause any unnecessary drama. One of the other things that I think causes that extra drama is ego. Ego is a huge factor in drama. And this is that, you know, that feeling of, I don't want to admit I'm wrong, or I don't want to feel like, you know, I'm being vulnerable, or I'm not going to be the one who gets stepped on again this time. It's like, it's ego. You don't want to be the one that backs down, right? And, or you don't want to be the one who's wrong, right? I'm the mom. I'm not wrong. I'm mom, right? I'm never wrong. I tell my kids that all the time. It's not true. And I say it jokingly. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm mom. I'm never wrong. I don't know what you're talking about. And they know I'm joking because I admit that I'm wrong on a regular basis because I think that that's important. But ego is huge. So one of the posts that kind of brought about this whole conversation is I saw this post on a group where the woman posted a text message that came from her baby's dad saying, you know, hi, I wanted to reach out to you. And I'm totally paraphrasing because I can't remember exactly, but it was like, I want to reach out to you. I know that things have not been good. I know that I've made mistakes, but I really want to try and be a part of my son's life. If you could just talk to me about it. And, you know, I realized that I screwed up and I really want to try and make it up to him. I really want to try and make it up to you. You know, and he wasn't trying to get back together, but he was just saying, you know, hey, I really want to be a part of my child's life. And her immediate response was, well, you were never around before now, and I've been doing just fine without you, and he doesn't need you, and blah, 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 and just kind of like went on this tirade. And I thought about it, and this goes back to comparing where I'm at in my story to where they are in their story. I started to respond and realized, you know, I don't know where she is in her story. I don't know what all has gone down. I don't know what has happened. But I do know that it seemed like there was a significant amount of ego in that response of, well, I've been doing it all on my own, and how dare you come back after all this time? And I understand that there's a lot of hurt in there, but also definitely ego of, how dare you try and step back in when you haven't been here all these years? And while I understand that response, I really do. I mean, and I honestly, I think I would probably feel the same right off the bat. Like, if that was, if, you know, if my daughter's dad had disappeared and then all of a sudden shown up and wanted to be a part of her life, I think that would probably be my initial gut reaction too. Would be like, how dare you? You've been gone this whole time and now you want to make right? But I also really like to try and think that I've done a lot of work on myself and that I've always wanted what was best for my daughter. So I think that I would have to step back and push my ego aside and really stop and think, you know, this person is making a genuine effort, or what appears to be a genuine effort, to try and get back in their child's life. And for whatever reason they were gone, I don't know that story. And really, it's not my business. I mean, it is to an extent if there's an issue where my child's safety might be at risk, if maybe they're not a good person to be around my child, if they're an addict, or, you know, those of course are extenuating circumstances. If you're an addict and you're wanting to come back in my child's life and you're still an addict, then the answer is no. Right? You're not a healthy person to have around my child. But if you are, you know, clean, sober, and you're trying, then I have to push my ego aside, which is that part of me that's like, how dare you? I've been doing it all by myself, and now you want to come back and play daddy? Like, that's ego. That's you not thinking necessarily of your child. And if your child wants their father, and again, it also depends on the age of your child. You know, your child may be a teenager who's like, well, I don't want to know my dad. You know, there's definitely always going to be different dynamics that go around this. So like I said, you know, there can't be one cookie cutter answer for everybody's problem, right? But in all honesty, thinking of the way that this woman responded, and her question was to the group, you know, was I wrong? Was I wrong for feeling this way? And my thought was, no, you're not wrong for feeling that way. I don't think you're ever wrong for feeling. You know, you're a human being. You feel what you feel. You can't, there's no right or wrong about it. However, I think that not even being willing to open up a conversation or a dialect about it not being able to say, you know, this is how I feel. You're just popping in after all this time, and I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if it's a good thing for you to just pop into her life. I don't know if she'll accept you. You know, are you going to stay? Because I do understand that desire to protect your child from somebody who just pops in after a period of time. You know, if they're going to pop in, maybe they'll just as easily pop back out. And that's definitely hard for a child. And, you know, it would break my heart to see them hurt like that. It breaks my heart now when my boys ask about their dad and they know the situation that happened. I've got one who's curious about who his father is and the other who's like, no, he totally ruined our lives. He changed our lives. He hurt us. I have no desire to ever see him. I don't ever want to meet him, you know? So everybody's dynamic is obviously going to be different. And I totally understand the need to and the desire to feel like you need to protect them from being hurt. But here's the thing. As parents, we always want to protect our children from being hurt, but we can't. They're going to be hurt. And there are times that we're going to be the ones that hurt them, whether we intend to or not. As parents, we're human and we're going to make mistakes and we're going to do things that hurt them. We won't mean to, we won't try to. But at some point we're going to hurt them too. They are going to be hurt. They're going to get their hearts broken. They're going to have their friends leave. They're going to have loss in their lives. We can't protect them from being hurt. We really, really can't. And so the best that we can do is to be there when it happens and love them and support them and try and do everything that we can to help them heal. And if that means that, you know, their dad decides to pop back into their lives and we allow it and then he pops back out again, then we deal with the repercussions of that and we help them heal. And honestly, the knowledge of that kind of I hold to is at that point, their father, just like my daughter's dad, he's defining his relationship with his child. I'm not the one saying you can't rely on your father or your dad's unreliable when it comes to picking you up or dropping you. Like, he's already done that for her. She already knows before, you know, I don't have to say anything. When I say your dad's going out to celebrate his wife's birthday, he's going to pick you up tomorrow. The first words out of her mouth are, so then I probably won't hear from him until late in the afternoon. Because she already has it in her head. She knows that he's going to be drinking. And he's established that relationship with her. He's established that understanding. I haven't. He has. He's built that relationship with her. So if your baby's dad or your child's father, if he pops in and then pops back out, he's establishing that relationship with his child. And at some point, the child will make the decision and say, no, you don't stay. No, I don't want to see you because you're just going to leave again, right? And there's nothing that you can do to change that other than keeping him away from her or your child. And it is, like I said, there's no cookie cutter answer. But I don't think that just automatically saying, no, you suck, you did this, you did that, you know, causing that kind of drama before you even have a conversation, like, you know, at least sit down, talk to them on the phone, meet someplace neutral without your children to say, okay, hey, you're wanting to pop back into my child's life. What's the story? What's going on? Why were you gone? What happened? Why do you feel now that you should be popping back into her life? Make me understand. Make me believe or tell me why I should believe that you're going to now be a consistent and positive aspect of her life. Because it's very possible that this person did get their act together. They did get their head out of their butt. They figured themselves out. Because, I mean, I'm sorry, women, we advance and we grow up and we mature faster, right? It's a proven fact. We mature faster. Most of us mature faster. Men, you know, I still tell my daughter's dad, you're 12, right? You do understand that. You act like you're 12 still, right? Men, just, it takes them, for some reason, it takes them a lot longer to get over stupid, right? Like, everybody goes through that stupid phase. For some reason, it takes them longer to get over it than us. And I don't know why, but it just simply is. But maybe it took him a while to get it and realize, okay, I am going to need to be there. Maybe he lost his own father. Maybe his own father recently passed away. Like I said, you never know what the story is, but if you just create drama before you even have a conversation, like this woman, like, totally went off on him and was like, nope, you suck, I hate you, you were never around, I don't want anything to do with you. You know, and again, I don't know their story. Maybe there was more to it. But I just know that there's a lot of instances that I've seen where, you know, people ask, was he abusive? Was he this? Was he that? Is there some reason why you wouldn't want him around? No, I'm just, you know, he cheated on me and this and that. And that's ego. That's ego. If he's not a danger to your children, and for whatever reason, your relationship didn't work out, fine. But that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to deny him a relationship with his child just because you're still pissed off at him or just because you felt slighted by him. So using your ego to cause more drama, you know, and then there's even the, if you have a good relationship with your ex, like, you know, my ex, I mean, again, it's not perfect, but it's way better than it used to be. But there's still those times where I sort of automatically jump to that, I'm the mom, I know better, you don't know what you're talking about, right? Like, that's ego. And in some cases, you know, yeah, I may know it because I've, you know, I have other children, I've gone through these things before, I've gone through ear infections, I've gone through colds, I've gone through, you know, rashes and weird things and, you know, all the fun things that come with being a mom. So in some instances, yes, I do know more only because I've experienced it before, right? But that doesn't mean that my ego should get in the way and cause drama. It shouldn't be like, no, no, you're stupid, I know what I'm talking about. Like, that's ego. You know, also, I think as moms, we just have that initial, we know better. Like, we know better. And in some cases, we do. In some cases, we may not, you know? So sometimes that ego can definitely get in your own way. And it's really hard sometimes to tamp it down, right? Because there's a lot of times where he'll say something or he'll do something and I just, I have to bite my tongue because I'm just like, I wouldn't do it that way or that's not the best way. But it's his way and she's not in danger. She's not hurt. And I've just got to let him, I've got to let him be him and do him to the best of his ability, right? And as long as she's safe, I can't make those decisions for him. I can't make him be different than who he is, right? And ego is what makes you want to try. That ego of, I know how to parent better than you, so just let me tell you how to do it, right? That's where that causes drama. There's more drama there. I mean, and think about it, as a parent, you know, you don't want another parent. If some other parent that you didn't even know, like you're at the park, imagine you're at the park with your kids and they're doing something and your son or daughter does something and a random parent comes up to you and says, you know, I wouldn't do it that way. This is how I would do it. You should do this. Like, we as parents, we're like, dude, who the hell are you telling me how to parent my kid, right? Who are you to tell me how to parent my child? So just imagine now, what makes that different than what you're trying to do to your ex, right? And again, I still catch myself. I do it all the time. We're human. I cannot express this enough. We're human, and I'm totally human, and I make gobs of mistakes. I make tons of them. But I'm trying to identify and censor myself when it happens. Like, I'm just sort of like that, and I sort of just have to catch myself and force those words to go right back in my mouth. Like, I don't need to say these things because it will cause drama where there doesn't need to be drama, right? You know, and one of the other problems that I find with causing baby mama drama is listening to other people's voices, listening to other people's opinions. And what I mean by that is not advice, right? Here's the thing. There's a difference between advice. Like what I'm offering is advice. I'm offering advice. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm just saying these are my opinions and this is what I think. You are clearly fully capable of making your own decisions and doing whatever it is that you're going to do. You can listen to this podcast and go, this woman's full of crap. I don't know why I'm listening to this, right? So, but this is just the things that I have experienced and the things that have helped me. And again, no cookie cutter solution is going to solve every problem, right? But I do know that these are things that I have seen and that I have seen in myself and others, and seeing them in myself and adjusting, it has improved my relationships with my ex, with my family. But the one thing that I do know is there's other outside people who love to chime in on your situation. For example, there has been a lot of drama that has been caused between my ex and I that has originated from his wife. And I'm sure that some of you have dealt with this. There has been drama caused by another individual who, quite literally, their opinion, their voice, their words, their actions cause issues between the two of us. I'll give you an example. The two of them got into an argument one evening when my daughter wasn't even there, mind you. She was here. And I get a text message from his wife saying, oh, I just wanted you to let you know maybe you shouldn't bring Brooklyn over because, you know, Rick's going down to his bad place again. And I was like, what are you talking about? Brooklyn's not even there. And she goes, well, he's drinking a lot. I'm like, well, I don't care if he's drinking right now. Brooklyn's not there. She's not coming this weekend. She's not there until next weekend. She goes, well, I know. I just wanted to let you know so that you were aware that the problems are coming back. So basically, these two got into an argument. And this woman tried to use me to cause a problem. She tried to cause a problem between the two of us as a way to get back at him, right? And had this been several years ago, I probably would have gone off the rails. I would have been like, dude, you know, your wife's telling me that you're having all these drinking problems. I don't know if Brooklyn should go over there, blah, 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 blah. He's allowed to drink. He's an adult. He can do what he wants. He just can't do it when Brooklyn's there. If Brooklyn is not there, I could care less what the man does. I don't think about him unless I need to. Like, his life plays no role on mine unless it has something to do with our daughter. When our daughter's not there, don't care. Don't care what you do. That's on you. Live your life the way you want to live. Just as I expect him to allow me to live my life the way I want to live. What I do is none of his business as long as I'm not endangering our child, right? Same thing with him. What he does is none of my business unless it's endangering our child, right? Unless he's becoming a huge drug addict and that endangers our child. Unless I'm becoming a huge drug addict, possibly endangering our child, right? Other than that, live your life, homie, right? But this was a specific incident where someone else was coming in from an outside area trying to cause drama, right? And you may have this. You may have a boyfriend who's telling you how you should deal with your ex. Your boyfriend, though he may be well-intentioned, maybe, you know, great, thank you for the advice, honey, but I still need to handle this in the way that I feel I need to handle it. Maybe your parents. My parents have gobs of opinions on how I should handle my relationship with my ex. Lots of them, because they love me and they want to protect me and they love their grandchildren and they want to protect their grandchildren and they want nothing but the best. If my parents had their way, I would have full custody of my children. He would never see them again. He would never see his daughter again. And we would move back to Virginia or to Arkansas where they live and live happily ever after and never have to worry. But that's not going to happen. He's not a danger to our children. He's not a danger to our child. So, as much as I love them, and as much as they love me, I listen to what they have to say because I love them and I give them audience. They have a voice. I say thank you. I know that you love me. I appreciate that you're trying to help, but I have to handle this the best way I can and the best for our situation, right? Other people and other voices and other factors, they will always have an opinion. They will always have something to say. And you can listen to their advice, you can take their advice, but ultimately, if those people are causing you more drama, maybe not the best voices to listen to. Right? Like, you have enough issues, you have enough things going on. I don't need somebody else in my ear, chirping in my ear, causing more drama, right? Thank you for your advice, thank you for your opinion, but ultimately, when it boils down to it, I have to make what I feel is the best decision for me and my family. And that may be to totally ignore, you know, like I said, going back to the woman who said, you know, no, you can't see your child. Nobody can force you to do that. Well, let me rephrase that. The courts could make you do it, potentially. But in all honesty, at least open a dialogue. Talk to the person. Put your ego aside. See if maybe you can work something out. Maybe this person has actually changed. Maybe this person is actually going to be an influence. But it's, you know, ultimately, it's your child. You want your child to, if their father wants to be a part, maybe let that happen, right? Nobody said it was going to be easy, but being a parent isn't easy, right? You're making difficult decisions, you're making difficult choices, and you're just praying and crossing your fingers and hoping to God that you don't screw them up. You know, we're trying to get through this where your child needs as little therapy as possible when they become an adult, right? That's the goal. But yeah, so like I said, you know, there's so many things going on. There's so many issues that can come up being a parent, and you're going to have drama left and right. You know, being, causing more of it yourself, like, you don't need that. And in all honesty, if you can stop and sort of really examine, like, honestly, like, take a step sort of outside of your own skin and take a look at issues that you've had with your ex or, you know, your current boyfriend or whoever, and go, did I make more of an issue out of that than really needed to be made? Did I cause more drama? When I'm dealing with my ex, are these factors, you know, the fact that I'm still hurt or the fact that I'm still angry or my ego or, you know, my parents in my ear, are these factors causing me to cause more drama where there doesn't need to be, where maybe I could just sit down and have a civil conversation, put my anger, put my hurt, put my ego, put all of that aside. Again, no one said it was easy, but do it and then see if you can't form a civil conversation where there is no drama. Be civil, you know, and hopefully you can do that. Now, this is only you. You can only control you. You can't control what the other person does, you know? So if you're not the cause of the drama, and the other person is the cause of the drama, then just don't sink to that level. Like, my ex has had times where he's tried to bait me into a fight. I'm like, dude, I'm not doing this with you. I refuse to get in this argument with you. I'm not doing it. Right? If they're the source of the drama, then just don't stoop to that level. Don't sink. Just say, okay, dude, when you're ready to talk and have a civil conversation, you let me know. And we'll discuss. Until then, I'm not doing this with you. Right? Like I said, we have way more drama than we can handle to be causing more of it ourselves. So that's it for this week. I hope that you enjoyed this. Please, like always, feel free to comment. We love to get comments, questions. You know, where have you been able to avoid drama? What are some of the tactics that you've used to help resolve some of the drama with your ex to keep yourself from getting involved in that? Where have you, you know, fallen to it and say, you know what? Yep, I'm guilty of baby mama drama. Here's what I did, right? Like, you know, because we've all done it, whether we want to admit it or not. We've all done it. So I hope that you've enjoyed this. As always, please feel free to subscribe. Like us on Facebook, The Single Mom Blog, and we'll talk to you again next week. Take care. You've been listening to The Single Mom Podcast, the place to go for support, encouragement, and maybe a few laughs along the way. Please also make sure you head on over to The Single Mom Blog for more great stuff for single moms. We have resources, free things to print out, great articles. Can't wait to see you there. Be sure to leave feedback and comments because we love hearing from other single moms. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.